This video is brought to you by a product I use weekly, Harry's.
Well, here we go. The wheels on the bus go round and round, and so do we with speed.
By the way, if you are listening to us on Apple or Spotify, if you don't mind speeding over and giving us a rating, we would so appreciate it.
How long have you been thinking that pun?
I just thought about it right then and there.
Speedy quick.
Speedy, speedy quick.
Damn. Okay, so this movie has a great reputation, but it came out in 94, so you never know when you're doing a watch-long. Like, is it going to hold up? Is it going to be stupid funny? Is it going to be just, like, not what you were hoping? I am shocked with the extent that I was listening to that.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
I was shocked with the extent that I really, really thought that that kicked ass. How are you feeling first time watching Speed?
I loved it. And like you said, yeah, it does have a reputation. I mean, the fact that Keanu Reeves is in so many iconic action. I mean, he was in Point Break. Love, love, love that movie.
Came out the weekend that I was born.
Oh, cool fact. 91. Great film.
July 13th weekend. Came out the weekend you were born.
No, I was 88.
Yeah. Well, it came out the your birthday weekend.
Oh, true. But
I'm so young, you're so old.
I'm so old. He's in Point Break, The Matrix, and John Wick, and now another iconic action film.
Not now another iconic.
Well, no, I just mean now when I'm saying that, because I just watched. But yes, thank you for correcting me. But yeah, no, this film, it had a lot to live up for in terms of everything that's been built up that I've always heard over the years. And it just really lived up to everything that I've heard just from, obviously, I'm going to start with the cinematography. No, I'm just kidding. Just from the characters, they were really engaging. The dialogue was extremely tight, as you mentioned many times. And the thing that really was the best part for me was the relationship and the chemistry between the two leads. I just bought that from the get-go because you're in an intense situation. There's so much suspense and, you know, that's going on throughout the picture. But I was so invested in all the characters, obviously getting off the bus. I don't want anyone to get hurt, but I was just most invested in these two. They are so damn good together. And obviously it's a relationship that builds up pretty damn quickly, but in a life or death situation, like I actually really bought that. And again, their chemistry was so damn off the charts good that I was just like, I was rooting for them the whole way and wanted them to get together. And I bought that, like that they would get together after everything they had been through.
Yeah, I think that they actually, like, this is such a weird comment, but they both have very similar characteristics where they are able to stay cool, calm, and collected for the majority of the time. They both have, like, a freak-out moment, yeah. But they're able to step in and do what needs to be done when it needs to be done, and I actually think they probably would make a pretty solid couple, so I'm sad to hear that Speed 2 is such trash because I was hoping for an epic love story. But yeah, I definitely bought into their chemistry. I bought into everybody's chemistry. Like, I loved watching the guy that we really liked and Alan Ruck kind of beef a little bit on the bus. There are some people that I was like, huh, what about this couple? Like, there was a black couple that we didn't get to spend that much time with, or an Asian woman that we didn't get to spend that much time with. And it did feel like a very full ensemble, yeah. But there were more people that were highlighted, which of course it's a movie. We're not going to spend time with every single person on the bus. It's LA, it's a crowded bus. But I do think that the people that we did spend time with, they were very interesting characters. And even if they were annoying, you loved to be annoyed by them. You
absolutely.
Know?
They gave everyone, or the characters that we did spend the most time with on the bus, they gave them all different characteristics. And also, too, they grounded them in terms of like, okay, this is how this character would act. And like, all right, this is us as an audience member. This is how probably we would act. But yeah, we're all very fascinating. Yeah, some of them were a little bit annoying. But again, like when you put yourself in that situation, like, okay, I might act that way in this situation. Nope, I'm the stoic, brave type. I might not act, but I'm going to act more like this. So I like how they gave everyone different infusions of character types. But I thought the film just did a great job in the very, like that first opening 15, 20 minutes was so damn well-paced. It was so, it just set the tone, the atmosphere, the mood, just letting you know what you're in for the rest of the film. Like, this is going to be a wild roller coaster ride with engaging characters, a sadistic, crazy ass villain. And it's just going to be
just a little eccentric,
just a little eccentric. Yeah. I just thought he was so well written though. Again, yes. I didn't agree. And I always say, this is the standpoint of a good bad guy. I don't agree with anything he was doing, obviously, mm-hmm. but I understood his motivation. I got where he was coming from while not agreeing with anything he did. But the performance is so damn good from Dennis Hopper that it's like just the little things, his laugh and like how maniacal he was. I was like, again, I shouldn't be laughing with him, but I am because it's right. He's sucking me in with his performance.
And we didn't need to dive into any more specifics with him. It didn't need to be like on January 4th of 1982, I was off on a mission and, you know, like we got it. Disgruntled cop. Didn't get the money that he felt he was owed and lost a finger in battle. Like
simple.
We got it. And I thought that was really cool. And I'm with you on the first 20 minutes, but I also thought was really smart was throughout they just kept reminding us this movie is willing to go there. So like when we do lose, what is the Child's Play 2 woman?
Beth Grant.
When we lose Beth Grant, it's like, ooh, they're willing to kill these passengers. And when we lose Jeff Daniels, it's like, oh, he's who we started with. Like, they're willing to, we're willing to kill main characters in this. And then, you know, as Sandy B there at the end is on the pole, I'm like, you know, she's working the pole. I'm like, wow, is there a real, like, I thought it was a legitimate shot. I didn't think that's what they were going to do, I thought it was a legitimate shot we might lose her. Because they had shown us, we'll do it, we will.
To your point, at the very beginning in the elevator scene, we had that one woman, I thought she was for sure going to be, like, when she was, again, panicking a little and just shivering in fear, which totally understandable in that situation. I thought there was a chance she was going to be taken out. And then you have that moment with Beth Grant. And then you have that moment with Jeff Daniels. You already have all these obstacles that the film is, as you said earlier, very satisfying and in a very smart way, just creating all these different types of obstacles for our characters. Like, already got the big obstacle of you can't go under 50 miles an hour in LA traffic on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a brilliant obstacle right there. But then you're adding on with the gas and et cetera. All the other obstacles that you did. And then you got the camera and such.
They say
in
screenwriting, you know, you're supposed to throw an obstacle in every at least 10 minutes.
This film
and
now,
this movie was like, we hear you and we will take that note.
Yeah.
And these obstacles didn't feel like, let's throw in this obstacle for this movie. The scenario and premise were a perfect setup for obstacles, but the obstacles were unique each time. Like, it makes sense. What problem? I feel like people sat in a room and they're like, okay, what problems could we have with the bus? Well, a tire could blow. Well, there could be a gas issue. LA traffic could be a problem.
Yeah.
People could try to get off of the bus. Somebody could try to get onto the bus.
50-foot gap.
There could be a break. Like, they thought about all of the realistic problems that could happen in this kind of heightened, unrealistic scenario.
Yeah.
And they really made it so, like, every time there was a new thing, we were like, another, oh my God, okay, all right, we're in. Because, like, that's different and it's fresh and it's unique.
Yeah.
But, like, holy crap, they can't catch a break. That was, I feel like the script was so, so strong.
Yeah. But
of that.
For sure. And I mean, just added to the stakes of what was already happening. And like, I thought there was a chance that Sandy could have, or anyone could have, you know, been taken out at any which time. I didn't think once we got to the subway train and Dennis Hopper, by the way, that was insane how his head was taken off there on the subway.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned that.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a sec. But like, once we were on there and you were like, wait, are they going to take her out on the train? Once we had gotten there, in my mind, I was like, there's no way you're putting this woman through this much torture and our main characters. I was like, there's no way that she's not going to survive at this point.
That's smart. But yeah. I was thinking, like, is this Titanic? Like, does one of them go? Does he die saving her? Like, is that you know?
They're on the bus and they're getting on the door. There's only room for Sandy. Keanu, you stay on the bus. You got to blow up.
And years later, they have to prove there was room for both.
James Cameron's like, what a great idea.
That's funny. That is really funny because Titanic's 97, right?
Yeah, so that's 3 years right after this. I would imagine James Cameron, that probably took a few years to make. So James Cameron probably saw this. That's where he came up with the idea if that would happen. In another alternate world. But
I want to find the guy while you're telling me this. Dude, we knew.
In regards to Dennis Hopper, that was definitely one of the craziest. Again, you let us know in the comments because you always, you know, you guys always correct me, but I don't understand.
Yeah, you don't love being corrected, I learned tonight.
I don't. No, as long as it's constructive. As long as it's constructive and, you know, you're not too mean about it, I don't mind. But point I'm making is I'm still a little, maybe you can even let me know, I'm not sure what it was sick and the stunt work was amazing. Keanu getting on top of the subway train. Was he trying to get to the front of the train and come in and surprise him?
Maybe get to the front. Maybe be up there to shoot. Maybe he was trying to make it to the destination. Yeah, I think he was just trying not to be where he was because he couldn't do anything from where he was.
The only reason I ask is because he didn't know he was on. He was already on the train and he didn't know he was on. So he had the element of surprise. That's why I was just a little confused by that.
Patrick Fischler is the name of the guy, and he was in Mad Men.
Was he in Once Upon a Time?
He was in Mulholland Drive. He was in Lost. That's what. Oh, I hit you.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
He was in Billions. He was in American Fiction.
Once
he was
upon
in
a time, I think.
Barry for 3 episodes. I watched Once Upon a Time, and I don't remember him, but I'm trying to scroll to tell you. Who was he in Once Upon a Time?
I don't remember.
I just remember
him being in it. But also,
yes, he was. He was in. He was Isaac Heller for a few episodes.
Okay, yes.
He was in every show I've ever seen.
Yeah,
he was
right.
In Suits.
He's in everything.
Fresh Off the Boat. Okay. Silicon Valley. I've seen it. Shameless. He's literally been
Shameless.
In everything I've ever watched in my entire life. Marin.
We do got to talk about
Californication. Do you want me to keep going? Castle Veep.
He's literally in everything.
He has 140 credits. Grey's Anatomy.
That's it. What did you think?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
What did you think about the stunt? I mean, I know we mentioned it many times during the film because it deserved praise, in my opinion. What did you think about the stunt work in this film?
I always think that Keanu has been one of the best able to sell action sequences actors.
I totally
ever.
Agree with you on that.
I think 100. He is just so, so fantastic. There's never anything that he does where you're like,
I don't buy that,
which is really cool. And I thought that I just think it was super believable the whole way through. And then also I thought there were some really cool moments. I mean, but just the difficulty of getting from car A to car B when they're moving that fast, really challenging, but especially when he was underneath the bus, I was like, whoa, dude.
That's one thing I loved about his character. And like you said about Dennis Hopper, we didn't need to know, like, get into his backstory, get into certain events. I felt that way a lot. That's a very big pet peeve of mine in regards to getting into characters. I definitely like to know more about the characters, but in regards to Jack Traven, whatever his name is, Keanu Reeves' character, I liked not knowing way too much about him, but the things we did know about...
That was right.
Oh, okay, cool. But the things we did know about him, like, he was brave, he was stoic, and, like, he was willing to do whatever it took to protect people on the job. Like, that's all I really needed to know about this guy. And I loved Keanu's performance. And again, if I'm wrong, you guys let me know. We're going to read the trivia facts in a sec, so maybe I will come across. I did read years ago that River Phoenix was one of his best friends. I believe that's Joaquin Phoenix's one of his brothers. And that, you know, Keanu was filming this at the time. I think I saw it on YouTube years ago, and that it really it really affected Keanu. But, like, you could see, like, he just gave an outstanding performance. So I just, like, I give credit to him no matter what, but going through a loss like that and still giving this damn good of a performance, I think, really good praise for that.
Probably he was able to use it because of so many things.
Well, that one scene, too, with Jeff Daniels.
He starts flipping out.
That I would say he probably, again, I don't know Keanu personally, but, like, I would say he probably used that scene for sure.
In the line when he says, "We're going to die," it is also, like, you know, art imitating life, because when you do have a major death, you do think to yourself, it's going to happen to everybody at some point. Interesting. So a couple things, this isn't just a trivia, but I noticed when I typed it into IMDb that it said it won 2 Oscars. So I was like, way. So best sound and best effects, sound effects and editing.
I could see that.
And it was also nominated for best film editing, which I think,
I just only noticed that one time the ADR was a little up, but in terms of the sound design, I mean, the film was extremely visceral, and, like, everything I was listening to and hearing was so damn, I mean, it was so intense. Like I said, my heart, I think you feel the same way, but my heart was racing the entire film. It was a roller coaster ride.
Thrilled to be partnering with a brand I've been using for nearly 2 years now, and that's Harry's Razors. I'm generally more drawn to anything that goes against the norm, and Harry's does just that in the grooming world. They saw the high prices in the industry and decided to blaze their own trail with quality and affordability. I keep a beard, but whenever you see these cheeks and the neck clean, then that's the work of Harry's right there. Keeps my wife happy, and Harry's makes it effortless. They're precision blades that cut smoothly with less drag, making every shave satisfying. And yes, it's versatile for her. other areas too, you know what I mean? So as a Harry's devotee, I can vouch for their value. You can experience unparalleled comfort and quality in your grooming routine where exceptional craftsmanship meets affordability, making a smart choice for a top-notch shave without breaking the bank. Their kits and value packs for shaving are unbeatable, but Harry's is not just about shaving. Again, they offer top quality, thoughtfully designed grooming products, including shampoo, conditioner, and amazing body wash without the premium price. Quality, affordability, that's a thesis of this. Now these I actually pulled right from my own bathroom. I regularly use their 5-blade razor with a nice weighted handle and their foaming shave gel. Man, this devil, it is a game changer. I just like the feel of it. Now I have to commit to keeping this in my hand the whole time because I'm not going to go to the bathroom in the middle of shooting this. The handles, they feel perfectly balanced. And the razor's sleek design is a classy addition to my bathroom. And the quality of the shave, unparalleled. Gotta reiterate, key part of my weekly grooming ritual because their entire range of products fits seamlessly into my routine. Definitely no reshoots here. Their German engineer blades are durable and refill plans are economical. Rarely use the word economical, but I'm using it now. Plus, their commitment to high customer satisfaction and no risk trial makes Harry's a no-brainer. This gel really does feel good. Let me say once more, choosing Harry's means quality and affordability. By grabbing your $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/rejects, you're not only getting a great deal, but you're also supporting this channel. That's harrys.com/rejects for your $3 trial set. Stay sharp and embrace the extraordinary with Harry's. Till next time, Reject Nation. Till next time.
Yeah, I mean, it was just awesome. Like, oh, yeah. It was really, yeah. really awesome. No,
from the get-go, it was...
Sandy B learned to drive a bus for this film, passing her test on their first attempt. How awesome is that?
Yeah. She was really... I mean, everyone played their part. It was an ensemble film for sure, but, like, she was really the MVP in this film. I mean, I loved her character so much. And, like, again, that scene, like... it wasn't a sad scene, but like her performance in there got me where she was crying a little bit. You know what I mean? In that moment where she was like really sad and then she got back happy. But like this film was able to flip a dime like that, where it was able to like mm-hmm. change emotions like that really quickly. I was really whoever the writers are in this film, really well done. I was just really impressed with that.
A lot of things that they didn't have enough money for, but then they noticed that they thought this was going to be a hit, so they were able to get the funding. This is a cool one. 20th Century Fox producer realized they might have a hit movie on their hand when he noticed that during test screenings, audience members would walk backwards when they needed to go to the bathroom so they wouldn't miss.
Oh, this is totally a film like I would hold in going to the restroom. I would not get out of it. If I was in 94, I mean, it was only 5.5, 6 at the time, I would not go to my go to the bathroom. I would not leave my seat during this film at all, for sure.
This one's wild. 10 buses were used in the making of this film.
I could see
that. Each one had 2 steering wheels, one for Sandra Bullock, the other for the stunt driver, which was more often than not on the roof of the bus.
Oh, crap. I didn't. That's interesting. I remember in Terminator 2, like, I assume you've seen Terminator 2, right?
You know what? As you referenced Terminator 2 because the actor is in Terminator 2, I think you said, right? One of the...
Which actor did I say?
Who did you say? The guy, the chief.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Joe Morton.
He's
correct.
In Terminator 2.
Yeah,
you said, right?
Miles Bennett Dyson. Yes.
And then I was like, I thought I saw Terminator 2, but.
He was also in Smallville. And he was and he was in Justice League.
I get things. Cyborgs. I can't remember whether I did or didn't. Sometimes I have to relook things up. I always forget movies. I don't remember anything. I only remember TV shows.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, but what were you going to say?
I was going to say that in one of the scenes where they're escaping Pescadero Hospital and the Terminator is driving backwards the entire scene away from the T-1000 in real life, they had a stunt driver behind in the back seat or in the trunk or something, and he's the one who's steering. Arnold's not really steering, so it makes it easier.
I've got a really weird one for you.
Yes.
Any guesses on... So somebody rewrote this script uncredited. According to Graham Yost, the credited writer... wrote most of its dialogue.
Is it someone in comic books?
Yeah. Kinda. Well,
is it?
No, kinda.
Joss Whedon?
It is. I don't know. Why did you just guess that?
I don't know. I just, for some reason, when people ever go to rewrites, a lot of times it was Joss Whedon back in that day. He did Toy Story right around that time, so that's why I just went to Joss Whedon. I don't know why. I was just thinking Joss Whedon when you said I got a weird one.
Your answer is it's someone in comic books. You would have said yes too, right?
I said comic books because I was thinking,
yeah, okay.
Well, because the only reason I said that was because 1995 was the next year, Toy Story, and also a lot of times for rewrites, people would go to Joss Whedon at that time. That's the only reason I was thinking that at the time.
That was really, really good. Okay.
And also, he's a weirdo, so that's why when you said weird, I was thinking weird.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves wasn't all that interested in starring in an action movie, so Yann DeBont had to convince him that it would be fun by telling Reeves he'd be allowed to do as many of his own stunts as possible in Speed. The filmmaker credits Reeves' willingness to do more stunts with the film's success, as it's clear that the cast is enmeshed in the action. Of course, you have to be really careful because then they want to do everything themselves, which of course you can't let them do.
Unless they're Tom Cruise. No, I agree. There were quite a few sequences that were beyond exhilarating where I'm looking, I'm like, all right, that is so Keanu. There was only one time where I could tell it wasn't Keanu, is where he was with Toon Man, I believe his name was, the Jaguar.
I love Toon Man.
That was probably one of your favorite. He's in 5 minutes, but it was 5 minutes.
We were like an hour in, and I was like, I miss Toon Man.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said, I miss Toon Man. You said, what? And I said, I miss Toon Man.
I must have missed you saying that, but... No, I just remember there was one shot where they're driving and it's like an overhead shot and you could tell like they must have been going at such a fast speed and I guess the director probably, I guarantee you Keanu was probably like, I want to do this. And they're like, the insurance company is probably like, no, you are not doing
for
this
sure. A couple of other really fun ones and then we will get out of here. But this is, I didn't even think about the timing of this. This film was released 1 week before O.J. Simpson led Los Angeles police on a chase in the white Bronco.
Oh, wow.
After he was suspected of murder.
Oh, God. He must have watched this movie and goes, okay, worked on that bus. I can do it in the Bronco. That's insane.
How wild is that?
What do you say? Life imitates art,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Or art imitates life. Life imitates art.
Same
it goes
thing,
both
right?
ways.
Yeah. Mirror. That is wild. I knew it was in 94, but that's wild. A week after the release?
Yeah. No, that happened a week after. So this came out. And then
OJ chase was a week after this.
People are still seeing this in theaters.
Wow. That's insane.
This is cool. It was voted one of AFI's top 100 heart-pounding movies of all time at number 99.
I believe that. My heart was pounding like crazy. I'm surprised it's 9. I mean, it's still in the top 100, so that's an honor.
Of all time. I mean, this really was.
That's an honor. I thought it'd be maybe a little higher, but still, it's in the top 100.
I don't see on here what you're saying about River Phoenix, so it might be
I heard that a long...
We could Google it.
Yeah, I heard that a long time ago. I could be totally wrong. If I am, you guys can correct me, but I'm pretty sure I thought I heard it was around the time of the making of this. I even think they might have given...
Let me see.
I think they even might have given Keanu a couple days off of this film. Naturally so, because they're human. But also, too, I want to give credit to Yann DeBont. Again, I've only seen Twister a long time ago, but you know he's got this eye for cinematography, which I so appreciate. I loved what he did with Die Hard. Again, the cinematographer for this film, I believe, was the guy who directed Exit Wounds, Cradle of the Grave, and Romeo Must Die, films I actually all enjoyed, even though Exit Wounds is not the greatest film. But point I'm making, I loved, loved, loved the cinematography in this film. The music was really good. It added suspense and tension, and also the exhilarating action sequences really added to those as well, enhanced those sequences even more so. But
And he did Doom. Yeah.
Oh, yes, he did Doom. Oh, did you already look that up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the director, right? The cinematographer was the director.
Cinematographer.
Yeah, you're right. He did do Doom with The Rock, right?
I looked it up as you were talking to try to, because you said.
Yeah, I never saw Doom, but
Rosamund Pike and Dwayne The Rock
and Carl Urban, I believe.
So this quick Google search says that while Speed was in production, actor and Reeves' close friend, River Phoenix, died immediately after Phoenix died. DeMont changed the shooting schedule to work around Reeves and decided to give him scenes that were easier to do. It got to him emotionally.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. So I did hear correctly when I heard that a while back. But yeah, no, and as you probably remember, River Phoenix was a young Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade of Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Wow.
No, Keanu and Sandy B again. Love that.
And Dennis Hopper.
And Dennis Hopper.
Man.
No. I was just...
giving the credit to the chemistry.
The chemistry. But
Jeff Daniels was great, too.
Alan Ruck was great. Yeah. Toon Man was the star.
Toon Man forever.
Joe Moore. All the character actors in this did a great job. Even Beth Grant. I know she's... I would assume a lot of people are probably annoyed with her. And I mean, but again,
no, I got it. She was scared.
She was scared. I felt for her. I felt bad. I actually felt bad for her. I wouldn't want to get the hell off that damn bus too.
Yeah. But you, in certain scenarios, as scared as you are, you can't put yourself over everybody, the risk of everybody. But yeah, The tension in this was amazing. The story rolled out, all of the obstacles, the performances, the dialogue. So not to rave about Joss Whedon, but if he was credited with that, well, he did a great job. The way it looked, just, I think this is like an A+ across the board. Couldn't have crushed it more.
It was fantastic. I loved it so much. Obviously, I'm so happy we got to do the reaction. God dang, I would have loved to have seen this in theaters.
I know.
I was only 5.5, 6 at the time, so I don't know if I would have appreciated as much as like I'm watching it now, but that would have been a fun watch in theaters. But I'm grateful I got to react to it with my speedy friend over here and with you guys.
Yeah, and at least we got a big, we didn't watch it on phone, you know?
Yeah, true.
Because I'd be doing that sometimes, and that's not the way to watch a movie like this. Well, thank you guys for being here with us, and we will see you soon for Speed 2. No,
I highly doubt it. Even if you guys request it, I've just heard it's one of the worst movies ever.
That could be something.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You know what? I always say to people, like, awful movies sometimes make the best reactions because you're like, what the shit?
I did Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Yeah. Not the greatest movie, but a fun reaction.
Have you seen the movie?
I've never seen
it. Oh, okay. It is. Ooh.
But it was a fun reaction.
But it was
reaction,
so
right?
much fun.
Okay. So you guys
Request Speed 2.
Yeah. Let Greg and John know if you want us to go through. Again, we haven't seen it, but let Greg and John know if you want us to go through the torture, apparently, that some of y'all had to go through.
And also let us know if any of you guys, this is your first time ever watching Speed and somehow you were living under the same rock that we were. Did you love it as much upon rewatch? If you're rewatching this, did you love it? Let us know in the comments. I read every single comment like a true psycho. So if you have something nice to say about us, then I would really love to hear it.
It's a Jewish thing we both do.
Yeah, we need that moral support from you guys.
Yes,
so maybe not for Speed 2, maybe for Speed 2, but no matter what, we'll see you soon, Rejects.